Welcome to the 222 Paranormal Podcast, starring your host, the man with the most, Joe Shortridge.
And me.
Hello.
And it's Brad.
Hello, listener.
Hello, lover. Hello, governor. What's shaking, bacon?
Oh, nothing. It's October.
Finally October. It's October. It's our season is upon us, everybody. Let's all celebrate.
We're in the burr months. September, October, yep, December.
Burr.
Yeah.
Spooky season. Woo!
It is.
Ghost hunting. Spooky. Get out to your local cemeteries, kids.
We've got a ghost hunt to go in 2 days. But it'll be yesterday when you're listening to this.
Yes, we are going to, where are we?
Dearborn.
Oh, the Dearborn Historical Museum.
Yeah. Yeah, it's up in Dearborn, Michigan. It's, obviously the Historical Society. So there's a lot of antiques and a lot of stuff in there. And from what I understand, which I've never been there yet, but from what I understand, it's extremely haunted.
Yes, I heard it is very active. Now, there's a couple of buildings. There's something called the McFadden Ross House.
Okay.
And it used to be Powder Magazine for the Detroit Arsenal. And it's a beautiful brick building. And it looks like it was somebody's house at one time and then became a museum sometime in the 50s. But I can't wait. There's so many artifacts and cool things. But I heard that there's a dark presence in there. So I'm a little scared.
Nah.
I'm a little scared.
I ain't afraid no ghost.
Joe ain't afraid. He ain't afraid. No, but it should be fun. It's been such a long year with no ghost hunting.
Yeah.
And, the time is upon us now.
Yep.
So actually, really interesting that because a lot of people haven't been ghost hunting, I'm just wondering if it's going to be ramped up.
Yeah, who knows?
Ooh, spooky. Very excited. What else going on, Joe Bean?
Nothing.
No?
I said that already.
Every time. There's nothing going on.
Just same old, getting stuff in order, getting things done. But anyhow, we've got a very interesting thing to talk about today. I've been interested in this in many, many years. Many moons
ago. But I remember seeing this. I believe it might have been on In Search Of in the 70s, 80s. And, throughout the years, seeing different shows on it and articles. One of the greatest Russian mysteries that ever, happened. There's still no answer for it.
They don't know what happened. It's called the Dyatlov Pass Incident. Mm-hmm. And it's weird because 9 people died. They're very experienced hikers, and they just died under really weird circumstances. Now, if you don't know about it, the Dyatlov Pass incident was an event in which 9 Russian hikers died in the northern Ural Mountains between February 1st and February 2nd, 1959. It's uncircumcised.
What the hell?
They died in...
Too much information.
Yeah. They died in uncertain circumstances, they say. The experienced trekkers group, who were all from the Ural Polytechnical Institute, had established their camp on the slopes of this mountain. And the mountain... The natives called it the Dead Mountain because there were no trees or life on the mountain. And also it has a history of people dying on the mountain. Mm. And it's weird because the number 9 comes up a lot when you're looking up research. Like before and after this, there were groups of 9 that died on the mountain.
Interesting.
Another thing that's interesting about the mountain is that the natives used to say that there were Yeti on the mountain.
Oh.
So, and... different activities.
Now, also there have been reports of alien and paranormal, right?
UFO a lot.
Ooh.
Yeah. Or when you said alien. Alien and paranormal.
Joe has not been drinking, but he probably should be. This is what's really interesting is that this mystery has never been unraveled. They cannot figure out what exactly happened to these people.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you said there were nine people,
nine
students. Did anybody survive this?
Well, actually, the 10th one survived. So there was
nine fatalities.
Okay. Yeah. And what it was there was 10 hikers. And what they did was they got on a train, took the train to a town, took another train the next day, a few farther north into the woods.
Mm-hmm.
Then they got on a truck, and then they got on a horse mule train like thing. And that's how they got to where their base camp was. When they got to their base camp, one of the hikers got sick. He had rheumatoid arthritis and everything. He got sick. So he actually went back, and he was really upset because he had to leave them.
Mm-hmm.
So they documented their trip with the diaries and a bunch of cameras. So they have a lot of photos of this group, and a lot of the famous photos are of them when the number 10 guy, and I don't remember their names. I have them down here, but I cannot pronounce them.
Yeah.
But the 10th guy actually left, and they've got pictures of them hugging each other, and they were all in good spirits. So they went off on their track, and they used skis. So they, instead of hiking, they were skiing.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a lot of photos of them doing their adventure, doing, you know, days. Well, on February 1st or 2nd, they're not sure the exact date, was the last photos that they took. And that night is when this happened.
Now, why were they going out there originally? What was the purpose of them going out to this very remote location?
They're experienced hikers.
Mm-hmm.
And what they were doing was they were trying to get a certification. Okay. In Russia, there's different certifications for hikers, and we're talking professional hikers.
Mm-hmm.
They had all had number two. One of them that they didn't really know that well was one, which is odd because there's one person in the group that the others didn't know, but he went along and he was a number three hiker.
Okay,
a certification number three. But the rest of them were trying to get that certification. In order to get that certification, you have to walk 300 kilometers or 190 miles over difficult terrain.
Okay.
So it's like a test. This whole trip was a test for them so that they could get their number three certification. So they basically made it up 6.2 miles up into the woods or up into this mountain where they decided to camp on February 1st or 2nd. They're not sure of the date. And that's, like I said, that's when everything happened. So what happened was, they made base camp. They all slept in one big tent. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And inside the tent, they would put their boots and shoes by the front entrance. And they said that they lined their jackets and their clothing on the floor and then some on the walls of the tent, which I don't know how they did that, but you know, make insulation. And they all stayed in the tent. Well, a few weeks went by and nobody heard from them. The plan was that they were going to do this hike, come back to the town, send out a telegraph to the number 10 guy and let them know, let basically everybody know that they made it. Okay. Nobody heard from them. Weeks went by. Finally, this gentleman, the number 10 guy, decided he's going to go look for them. And he was walking up where they were at and it was getting dark. He was going to turn around, but he looked up and he saw something in the snow. And it turned out to be their tent.
Okay.
So he gets up to the tent, and you can look online, and there's photos of this. And the tent looks really small in the photos because it was 2 weeks of snowing on it.
Oh, okay.
So it looks kind of small. But he came up, and he found this, and he was kind of excited that he found it because he didn't know that they passed away. He just assumed, well, I found the tent, but all their skis were at the tent. All their clothing was at the tent. The tent was ripped, where he could tell that they ripped it with a knife from the inside out. And that's how they all got out of the tent.
That's so interesting.
Yeah. So he ended up looking for the group.
So on February 26th, the searchers found the group's abandoned tent and it was badly damaged. The campfire baffled the search party, though, because the student who found the tent said the tent was half torn down and covered with snow. It was empty, and all the group's belongings and shoes had been left behind. The investigators said the tent had been cut open from the inside, like Joe mentioned. Mm-hmm. 9 sets of footprints left by people wearing socks only, or a single shoe, or even barefoot, could be followed, leading down to the edge of the nearby woods, the opposite side of the pass, to the northeast. After about 500 meters, which is like 1,600 feet, the tracks were covered with snow. At the ford's edge, under a large Siberian pine, the searchers found the visible remains of a small fire. There were the first two bodies, those of Krynichenko and Doroshenko, shoeless and dressed only in their underwear. The branches of the tree were broken up to 5 meters high, suggesting that one of the skiers had climbed up to look for something, perhaps the camp. Mm-hmm. And between the pine and the camp, the searchers found 3 more corpses. I won't pronounce the names.
I know I can't pronounce the names either.
Who died in poses suggesting they were attempting to return to the tent. They were found at the distance of 300, 480, and 600 meters. So like 980, 1,570, and 2,070 feet from the tree. Or 2,070 feet from the tree. Finding the remaining 4 travelers took more than 2 months. There were finally found on May 4th under 4 meters or 13 feet of snow in a ravine 75 meters or 264 feet further into the woods from the pine tree. 3 of the 4 were better dressed than the others, and there were signs that those who had died first had their clothes relinquished to the others. One was wearing somebody's burned jacket, torn trousers, and her left foot and shin were wrapped in a torn jacket.
Yeah, that's one thing that's interesting about this too, is where they found the tent was just, okay, imagine a hillside or a mountainside, and there was a tree line above them and below them, and they didn't sleep or set their tent up in the tree line. And the theory is that the leader of the group, which last name is Dyatlov, which they named the pass after that, after they found the body, but they think that he did that on purpose so they could learn to sleep on the hillside.
Oh, I see.
Out in the open.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where, when they found the tent, the footprints led up the mountain to this wooded area, and they found the campfire and the bodies underneath that big tree. But the weird thing is, okay, some of the bodies were found in a ravine, and these bodies were badly damaged.
Okay.
The one guy had a crushed skull. Now, everybody in the group had cuts and abrasions on them. They don't know what those are from. But the ones that are found in the ravine, the doctor said that the injuries were consistent of a car crash. So... And you think about back in the 1940s, it wasn't like they don't have airbags and all that, so it was really bad.
Right.
And they don't think that the fall into the ravine caused their injuries. One guy had a completely crushed chest.
Mm-hmm.
The one had fractured skull, broken bones, stuff like that.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they said the first 5 bodies that were found, they didn't find any injuries that would have led to their death. So they concluded that they all died of hypothermia.
Mm-hmm. Every one of them in the group, that's the cause of death.
Mm.
Even though they had the one guy had a bashed in skull, the other one had all his ribs crushed.
I mean, in order to have your ribs crushed, you would have to be squeezed by something,
mm-hmm.
or you would have to have a major impact.
Yeah.
And I mean, falling down a ravine, you get a lot of bumps and bruises, but you wouldn't get crushed. It's almost like something came behind them and just squeezed the life out of them.
Uh-huh.
You know? Like
even if another person fell on top of him, he wouldn't have had those same injuries.
Right. Now, they said all 4 of the bodies that were found at the bottom of the creek in a running stream of water had soft tissue damage to their head and face.
Mm-hmm.
One was missing her tongue,
yep,
her eyes, part of her lips, as well as facial tissue and fragment of the skull bone. Now, other guy had his eyeballs missing and the other one his eyebrows missing.
Yeah.
What the heck?
They're saying, you know, some theorists say that the reason why they're missing the eyes, mm-hmm. her tongue, and, you know, basically her lips were cut off, tongue, eyeballs. The other guy had his eyeballs ripped out, had no eyebrows. And they're saying that it was because of animals. But the animal theory doesn't hold up water because, one thing, there's not too many animals up there because that's why it's called Dead Mountain. There's right. nothing up there. If it was a bear or something like that, the body would have been ripped apart.
Right.
They wouldn't have gone after, like, the tongue.
Yeah. I don't know. To me, it sounds strikingly like what we've seen with cattle mutilations.
Exactly.
With aliens.
Exactly.
You know, I half wonder if they saw such a strange light or something. I mean, would have to absolutely terrify them for them to rip.
Just cut open the tent and jump out.
Right.
Without, and that's what I say. These were experienced hikers. You're talking top of the line.
Right.
Because they were going after their number 3 certification, which is the highest certification you can get for hiking. And they're outdoors people. They know what the bears do. They know what animals do. And they said that there were fox up there, but that's about it.
Yeah, but fox is nothing. Foxes are so scared of people. They're very timid. So mm-hmm. I don't think that would have even scared them a little bit.
For being in negative 13 to negative 22 degrees Fahrenheit, something frightened them so bad
right.
that all of them ran out of the tent mm-hmm. and almost, I don't want to say nude, but
partially,
almost
yeah.
nude.
Yeah.
Just in their underwear because they used all their clothing to shield mm-hmm. the weather inside the tent.
Right. One interesting thing that they did find with these hikers is that they all had high levels of radiation on their clothing.
Yeah. I mean, one of the students was in nuclear physics,
mm-hmm.
but that doesn't explain all of them being
yeah.
high levels of radiation. Now, some more than others, they did say that the one person's jacket was the main source. So maybe he just contaminated the rest of them. But then again, if it's that high of a radiation level, how come they didn't have effects by it?
Right, exactly. And weren't the bodies found in very strange positions?
Well, the ones that were almost looked like they were trying to get back to the tent were.
Mm-hmm.
They were all in line with the tent, face down, in line with the tent, which I guess would explain, you know, if you're struggling and you fall forward. But some of them were, the other ones underneath the tree were found in different positions, sitting, face up, stuff like that.
Have there been any ties to what we talked about, maybe Yeti being a part of this mystery?
Yeah, that's a big one because the ancient people that talk about that mountain say that there's a lot of Yeti sightings on that mountain. And in one of the photographs, there's the two main photographs that people talk about. One is a picture of, it looks like Bigfoot. Okay. Mm-hmm. And some cryptozoologists say that it's not, that it's just a person standing there, but it looks like Bigfoot. I looked at the photo mm-hmm. and that mountain is known to have Yeti or Bigfoot on it. Now, the second photo that's very interesting is the last photo that was taken by this on this camera. And it shows two bright lights, but one is like a moving light.
Mm-hmm.
Now, there have been reports of lights on that mountain years and years before this. So they think that like the the native tribes have legends of Bigfoot and also of lights on the mountain.
Interesting. Now, these people kept diaries, right? And
yeah.
they also took photographs. There was talk that there were some photographs that were not released.
Okay, I didn't know about that.
Yeah, so in 1997, it was revealed that negatives from one of the person party's camera were kept in a private archive of one of the investigators. The film material was eventually donated to the daughter of the Davlov Foundation, and the diaries of the hiking parties fell into the public domain in 2009.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so.
Be interesting to see those photos.
Adds to the mystery, really. Yeah. Now, these people, one of them had some very odd puncture wounds in his head. And there's a photo, and we'll put it on our Facebook page when the story, you know, when we release the podcast. But he has like three or four very strange round puncture wounds in his head.
Now, is the puncture wounds look like maybe an animal or?
Sure, they're round, so it's very possible that something could have bit him, you know, pre or post-mortem. Not really sure, but it kind of lends to the theory that there could have been a Yeti involved. Now, say, for example, you're all in this tent together and you're just trying to keep warm and do your thing or whatever. What if they heard, and, you know, people have described the growl or the rumble of a Sasquatch or a Yeti as having this super, super loud tone, but also the super deep undertone that like rattles you.
Yeah.
You know, like it's almost like a bass drum that people have described it. You know, you get too close and like, brrr. maybe something like that could have just jarred them out of this.
One of the theories is also infrasound, which is very low, but that was debunked, I could say, by the government because they said that the shapes of the mountains wouldn't allow for that. And plus, that affects everybody different. It wouldn't affect the whole group. This affected the whole group within seconds. Like, I'm talking seconds. And if it was a Bigfoot, that would be outside the tent, and they wouldn't have took a knife and cut the side of the tent and got out of the tent so fast.
Unless it came in through the flap or the opening and they were trying to escape.
They found that the front zipper, I guess it is, if it is a zipper, was never unlatched.
Ooh, that's interesting.
Yeah.
Very interesting.
So let's think about some theories here.
Okay.
What if a ghost or an entity appeared inside the tent? That would freak them out enough.
Absolutely.
Or even like an alien popped in. Anything, you know, there's a lot of alien type sightings up there with the lights. And
well, I mean, for people to cut their way out of a tent, something had to be inside that tent.
Yeah.
Because if there was something outside of it, they would want to stay in it.
That's what I mean. They wouldn't have all bust out of it so fast. And in order for them to bust out so fast and not put on their clothing, knowing that it's negative 22 degrees out.
Yeah, there had to have been something very, very malicious. Now, is it any possibility that this is a cover-up or a cover-up story for something else? Now, there were some other theories that they were, you know, perhaps in the intelligence game.
Yeah, and that's where that gentleman that none of them knew comes in. He was just going along for the hike. And he already had the number 3 certification, but he went along for the hike, and they said that he was like an outcast. He didn't talk to nobody or that.
What's the point of going if you don't?
I don't know.
You know, like.
So that's why they think that maybe it was espionage, and he was going to meet someone, and the others were killed. But still, that wouldn't explain them busting themselves out of the tent, because if they found out that this guy was a spy. And he was meeting someone, and they're all going to get killed, they wouldn't have ripped the tent and ran out in their underwear.
Right.
They would have, and they all had cuts and abrasions. All the bodies had cuts and abrasions on them. They don't know where those came from because it was wintertime.
Yeah.
There's no trees where they're at, but they ended up going to the trees. So maybe when they were in the woods, that happened.
Now, you know, it had snowed significantly between the time that, you know, they went missing and that guy came to look mm-hmm. for them. Is it possible that maybe the military came after them and was going to do away
do
with
something?
Them?
Yeah, it's possible because there are theories that say that the military found the campsite 2 weeks before the other guy did.
Mm.
What's weird is they actually found their footprints leaving the tent. So there wasn't too much snow going on that would fill in the footprints.
Mm-hmm.
The footprints start at the tent and they're all scattered in like a total panic. And then as they get away from the tent, they became a single file line. So that makes one of the theories say that the military did something
mm-hmm.
and they started to panic and run out of the tent, and then the military got them all in line and walked them up to the tree.
Oh.
That's why all of a sudden the footprints go down to like a single file line.
Who knows? I mean, yeah. It could have been a blinding storm, and that's the only way that they could keep together was to, you know, mm-hmm. just follow each other too. There is a theory of black magic of the indigenous people there.
Yeah.
So there's, you know, some people were saying that the bodies were discovered would have been a mass murder by the Mansi people. Now, they're a local ethnic group who were mostly hunters who had a settlement about 100 kilometers away. And, you know, they said it was ruled out, but you just never know. Like, you know, you got maybe local people who don't want people treading into their yeah. areas and finding out what they're doing.
But it all goes back to the panic,
mm-hmm.
cutting themselves out of the tent. If a tribe came up and, you know, was trying to get... Now, popped in my mind.
Huh.
What if a tribe came up and started hooping and hollering around them and saying that, you know, that they were going to kill them?
Uh-huh.
And maybe they thought, well, let's scare the tribe by busting out of the tent.
That's true.
And running like banshees. But then again, they would have had time to think about it. And they would at least put on shoes.
Right.
You know?
Now, one other theory is often referred to the frame number 34, which was discarded from the case file because it's poor quality, but it has proponents of the UFO theory.
Yeah.
They said it shouldn't have been discarded, but there is one photograph where they just have this very odd-looking phenomenon, almost like a fireball.
Yeah.
In the sky.
Yeah, that's what the photo I was telling you about.
There. Yeah. So could have been ball lightning maybe that came into their tent.
That's a huge, I didn't think of that.
I never
yes.
thought of that.
Yeah.
Like a laser beam, like maybe somebody was prototyping laser beam and shot it in there and they just didn't know what it was and they jumped the hell out.
The thing is too, and I forgot to mention this, but the ball lightning thing is a great possibility because I do know that guy that I work with flew in planes in the Navy.
Mm-hmm.
And he says that the St. Elmo's fire,
mm-hmm.
which is ball lightning basically, or static balls, would come into the planes and they knew not to touch it.
Mm-hmm.
And it would just float to the back of the plane and when it would hit something, it would zap out. That's a huge possibility. I never thought of that.
Yeah.
If there was ball lightning going on inside the tent, they would want to get out real fast.
Yeah, for sure. Mm-hmm. I mean, if you saw something like that coming at you.
And that would make sense, too, that they would scatter, and then once they got their wits about them, would get into a single-file line and go to the tree line for protection.
Right. It's interesting. I don't know. I just, you know, I tend to lean towards the why can't I talk? All of a sudden, I can't talk. The side of a Sasquatch.
Yeah. But I wanted to mention also that their clothing was burnt.
Oh, yeah.
But that could have been from the fire they made, but who knows?
Yeah.
That one guy had burns on his face.
Yeah.
And his hand was burnt. I just remembered that.
Oh.
So maybe he tried to catch the ball lightning.
Yeah.
And zapped them and they freaked out and ran.
That's possible. That's very possible.
I never thought of that.
This is interesting. They did in 2018 exhume some of the remains of these people. They, like you had mentioned earlier, said that the injuries resembled the person being knocked down by a car, and the DNA analysis did not reveal any similarity to the DNA of their living relatives.
Oh, I didn't know that.
In addition, it turned out that Zolotarev, I don't know, one of the guys.
Yeah, that's I can't pronounce their names.
Name either. Was not on the list of those buried in the Ivanovskoy cemetery. And the reconstruction of the face from the exhumed skull matched a post-war photograph of this guy. And journalists had expressed suspicion that there was another person hiding under Zolotarev's name after World War II. So, you know.
Maybe he was the one guy that nobody talked to. And
right. I mean, just everything is so strange about it that nothing makes sense.
No.
It's very steeped in mystery. But, you know, you have to also realize this was the Cold War era. There was a lot of misinformation. There was a lot of hiding of information. Mm-hmm. So there could have been something very odd that happened. Maybe it was a alien abduction attempt and the Russians did not want that to get out.
That's possible.
Or, you know, it's very possible that maybe they had some kind of interaction with an alien and maybe took one down and the military came and got it and just covered it up.
Covered up by killing these people?
Because it doesn't make, there's, I think there's more information out there.
Oh, yeah.
We'll, probably will never learn about it in our lifetimes.
One of the things that I noticed about it is it's very similar to the missing 411 stuff. They're all highly experienced hikers. They're all students in major fields like nuclear physics and stuff like that. They were found with their clothes off. They were found in water because at the ravine was a creek. Now, some reports said that they showed premature aging, but that could have been from them being exposed, you know, out in the exposed cold.
Mm-hmm.
And they were posed after death. You know, but after looking into it, that might even been when they say posed after death. That could mean when the other ones took the clothes off the dead ones.
Yeah, that's true.
Now, other things that are strange is the color of their skin. Some had strange colors on their skin.
Mm-hmm.
The one guy had a strange gray foamy material around his mouth.
Oh, interesting.
So there's so many weird things that happened in this. They just didn't die. Something happened.
Yeah, and there's a new theory that I just saw that there is evidence of a 30-meter crater. So there also was granite melted basically to red glass in this area.
Oh.
And
that could be either a nuclear explosion or a laser beam from a UFO.
Yeah, definitely. Or they said there might have been a missile test. And they just happened upon this?
That was another one. They knew that the military was doing missile testing in that area. So that's one of the military theories that I forget the term they used, but they were floating bombs, basically.
Hmm.
And what they were like bombs on parachutes. So they come down small or slow and explode over the ground.
Interesting.
Maybe one blew up near where they are camped, and when it blew up, they freaked out and cut themselves out of the tent and ran for the woods for cover.
Right. Yeah.
I mean, that could be it too.
It's so interesting. And if the military was involved, they're going to hide it. You know, they're going to hide any evidence of them wrongdoing or accidentally, you know, causing mass panic for these people who.
I mean, it'd be kind of convenient for the military because it freaked them out. They ran out of the tent with no protective clothing.
Mm-hmm.
They, running into the woods, probably got all the abrasions on them.
Yep.
And who knows, maybe the head fracture and the chest fractures were caused by a bomb going off near them where the shockwave hit them.
There's one last theory.
Okay.
Would you like to hear it?
Yeah.
It's a good one. They think there's one theory that these violent and chaotic deaths could have been a result of a strong and toxic moonshine type beverage.
Okay.
That the group had procured from the local hunters and possibly used ritualistically. So they could have easily had psychedelic hallucinations. You know, that's very possible. You get somebody who's brewing their own mm-hmm. brew and maybe have been drinking it all their lives and it's fine for them, but you get somebody else and...
Well, they did find one girl was intoxicated.
Wow.
Yeah.
Interesting. Very interesting.
That could be...
Don't be drinking some moon...
Getting some ayahuasca and...
Oh, God. They vomit.
They probably...
Do you remember when Josh Gates took it on... Was it Josh Gates who took that? And he was barfing all over. Yeah,
that's what happens, though. That's what happens. You drink it and you throw up and then you start...
pee yourself.
Then you start tripping.
Yeah.
I've never done it. I don't think I want to do it.
No.
I'll stick to the float tank.
Yeah. No, we don't want to end up running and freezing to death.
Now, that theory, though, that would make sense, too, is they all were having a trip, but all of them having the freak out.
You know, or one did and
maybe made like a panic across.
Yeah.
Panic
maybe he
all.
Was like going to yield the knife or something and they all like took off out of there. Like, who knows?
Yeah. You don't know. He could have been in there and he could have slit the tent and threatened them with the knife and they ran out.
Yeah.
But still the injuries are the weird things.
Yeah. That's the unexplained part.
Yeah. The fractured skull, the missing eyes, the missing lips, the missing tongue.
The eyebrows.
Yeah. That's cattle mutilation.
Yeah.
And that's so UFO stuff.
And it's interesting they were all buried in a mass grave.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's not like they were... I don't know why they wouldn't be sent back to their hometown.
Don't know.
You know.
To keep the information from their families?
Yeah, that's possible. It's very possible.
Mm-hmm.
Just a strange and unique story. And
I've always been intrigued by it.
I always love the mysteries that don't get solved.
Yeah.
I don't want them to get solved. I want them to be mysteries forever, you know?
Yeah.
Until we die and then we'll find out everything.
Yeah, I mean, it'd be nice to know what actually happened. But like you said, the mystery is there. That's part of it. But it's a shame that, you know, 9 people died.
Yeah.
In such a weird way. Yeah. And from what I understand, the people that knew them, you know, of course, said they're all such nice people. And the one was a jokester. The 2 of them were musicians. One of them actually carried ukulele maybe or something with them. Mm-hmm. And the one girl they said was very outgoing, you know, the happy person. Mm-hmm. You look at the pictures and they all look like they were just happy and outgoing and fun.
Young kids.
Going out on it.
Kids, but, yeah. You know, young students, I'll say.
One of them actually wrote in their journal that the adventure begins, I hope nothing happens. that was the last thing he wrote in his journal.
Wow. That's so interesting. Famous last words.
Yeah.
You know, just like in the movies.
Mm-hmm.
When they're like, don't open the door. And you open the door and then Freddy Krueger comes get ya. But anyways, that's our theory on it. And, you know, if you guys are interested in this strange and unusual mystery and have any cool theories, you know, you can always leave them on our Facebook page. I'd like to hear what you guys think, what you think happened.
Maybe it was a UFO Bigfoot. And he appeared inside the tent, farted, which blew the side of the tent out.
That's possible.
And it actually blew all the people out of the tent. They thought that they cut their way out, but it was actually a rip from the Bigfoot fart. And it
let
blew
it
them out.
That's where Let It Rip came
there
from.
There you go. That is true. That's exactly, that's really where that came from.
Oh, man, this show's going downhill real fast, Joe.
All right, but we want to let you go. Like you say, if you enjoy the show, please share it with your friends. And that's your duty. You must share our show with at least 300 friends.
Yes. And, guys, this is our 221st show next week.
Yeah.
Our 222nd show. You guys have to stick around. It's going to be amazing.
Do we have an idea what it's going to be about?
Absolutely
yet?
Not, okay. But it's going to be amazing, whatever it is. But you guys, you know, have a great week. Do something positive for yourself. Love yourself. Drink some more water.
Do something positive for us and share our show and go on online. Up to our website and grab some t-shirts.
Yeah, we got t-shirts. We got really cool masks that say 222 Paranormal Podcast. We also have Paranormal Investigator masks, which are really awesome. I just got mine in the mail. And they're very comfortable and breathable. So, guys, you know, shop. Support the show that way. You can also, if you shop through Amazon, you can go to our website and click on the link on some of the things that we have up for sale. And if you go through that Amazon link, it's our affiliate link. And that's a good way to support the show. Mm-hmm. Just do your normal shopping. It's no effect to you, but we get a little bit of... a
little kickback.
A little something.
It helps.
Like a couple pennies.
Yeah. So, yeah, we don't have an exact Amazon link. Just click on one of the books.
Yeah, definitely do it.
That'll do the magic.
All your
I don't know.
Shopping. Support your podcast.
Yeah.
Your favorite podcast.
All right. Well, thanks a lot, everyone. And we will talk to you
next week. Go ghost hunting. Bye.